T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the morning show. John Chuckery filling in for John Fricke all week long. Hugh Douglas here with you. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Streaming online, you can go to 929thegame.com. It's our new and improved website. Catch all the live shows plus replays of all the shows, all our best interviews. It's all up at 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put it on your phone, your tablet, your boombox, turntable, whatever device that you use in life to make sure you catch us as you are on the go. All of the social media for the station at 929thegame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, like us, follow us, do all that good kind of stuff. Best way to keep up with the show is you go to Twitter. He is at BigHugh53. I am at JMCH316. I'll also tell you to follow our guy on Twitter, our insider for the Braves on 92.9 The Game, Joe Patrick, at JAPatrick200. And he joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Joe.
Joe.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Well, busy weekend for the Atlanta Braves. Let's start with the Fulte news first. Is there any timetable that you're hearing about how long they plan to leave him in Gwinnett? Or is this just kind of a feel thing and kind of a let's see how it goes and we don't really have a timetable?
Yeah, I don't think there is really a timetable right now. I think the only thing that people need to be aware of is that Brian Snicker definitely wants Fulte back in the fold, essentially. And, you know, how long that takes for him to get his head straight is to be determined. But, you know, based on what he said, you know, he wants Mike Foltynewicz pitching at his optimal ability with this team. It's just a matter of how long it kind of takes him to come around to that place where he was last year. Obviously, it's been these mental issues that has affected him so much this year. And who knows when he's going to get that straightened out. You know, maybe he doesn't get it straightened out, and that would be something the Braves need to address. But I don't know if there's a timetable. I would say for right now, I would say that, you know, you probably won't see him before you got the All-Star break coming up. And I think that, you know, between now and then is the time for him to kind of get his head straight and see if he can come back around after the All-Star game.
You know, I know there was a lot of speculation early on whether or not this was just mechanical or was he hurt. Have you heard anything about that? And another thing is, why did they take so long to finally pull the trigger on Fulte and send him back down?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Brian Snicker is a guy who's always going to want to give his guys, you know, every opportunity to prove themselves. And I think it was just, you know, the time where he was doing more damage to the team than he was helping them, to be perfectly honest. And I don't think that maybe some of it started injury related, because that kind of did offset his whole program in the spring. Obviously, that kind of bad juju carried into the regular season, and maybe that somehow affected his mentality. But I don't think that, you know, that's really the underlying cause of what's going on here. His velocity is up. It's where you would expect it to be, if not more so. You know, he's even touched 99 in recent starts. So that's, you know, all you could ask for him in terms of his health. There, I have seen some videos on Twitter of him kind of like grimacing from time to time, looking like he may be favoring that elbow, which is what caused him trouble, that caused him to be out at the beginning of the season when he kind of tweaked it throwing a slider in spring training. But I don't think that that's the case. I think it's just head games with him. He's a guy that is, when we talk to him in the clubhouse after games, he's fired up. You know, he's incredibly passionate, and you respect that about a competitor like him. But you think it comes to a point where it becomes a deterrent, becomes a detriment, he just can't kind of keep going like this. So he just needs to get his head screwed on straight.
Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. So with Sean Newcomb coming up Tuesday is what it looks like. They've kind of announced, surprisingly, I think a little bit, that he's not going to make a start, probably goes back to the bullpen. Any ideas about where the Braves are going with somebody that's going to be the fill-in starter here?
Yeah, you know, I think the most logical move right now seems to be Bryce Wilson. He's a guy who obviously made a start to start the season with the Braves, and he's a guy who pitched on the night that Fulton Nevich did. So he would be a very natural replacement for him. Just call him up from Gwinnett, have him make a start. I don't think he's the long-term solution here. I think that, you know, there may be some trades or some other roster management that has to happen, because I don't think that, you know, especially what you saw out of Bryce Wilson in his couple starts with the Braves to begin the season, you don't have a ton of confidence in him, and he hasn't been great with Gwinnett this season, but at least he's coming off 6 scoreless innings in his last start, so that may give him some positive momentum coming into this start. I do think, you know, this pitching rotation is just, it's an amoeba, and it has been all season long. It doesn't have much structure to it. It's kind of rides on some hot arms and has kind of, you know, we've seen basically the only consistent guy that's been in there has been Julio Teheran. I mean, if you think back to the start of the season, even a guy like Max Fried started this season in the bullpen. There's been so much change and movement there, and maybe that makes these guys more adaptable, more ready to kind of move in and out of these situations. But I think you're looking at Bryce Wilson right now, and then if you also need somebody to come in for Mike Soroka, who obviously left the game after getting hit by a pitch yesterday, you know, you may look at a guy like Tuki Toussaint to come in and make a start as well. But again, if these things are serious, or you expect either of these two guys, Fulton Nevich or Soroka, to be out long term, I really think you probably have to make a trade to get another guy in.
You know, it's funny. I was about to ask you about that. So this situation that we're in right now with pitchers being hurt and guys not being up to speed, does this, in your mind, force the Braves' hand a little bit, and so that puts them in a situation where they're probably going to have to give up a number one prospect?
I think it does to an extent. I don't know. You know, obviously you don't want to try to give up your best prospect, but I think that this pitching rotation, the way the rotation was shaping up, you really needed Mike Fulton Nevich to be the Mike Fulton Nevich that you got last year. And if you look at his underlying numbers from last year, you knew that there was probably going to be some regression in terms of just the overall output that he gave you last year compared to this year. You probably knew that was going to go down a little bit, but not obviously to this extent. I mean, he's too good of a pitcher to be have what, like a mid-6 ERA. It's just you can't have that out of Mike Fulton Nevich. So you have to, if you're not going to get it out of him, you've got to go out and get it somewhere else. You know, you look at a guy like Marcus Stroman, Madison Bumgarner, these are like your classic rental players who are out there. You'll probably just have them for the rest of this year, and then they hit free agency or their contracts are expired. So those are two guys, you know, the Braves could have their eye on. Marcus Stroman, of course, is a guy that was drafted by Alex Anthopoulos in Toronto. But you never know about kind of, you know, there's been some rumors about what, you know, how well Alex Anthopoulos and Toronto get along with each other after that departure. So, you know, there's a couple options, and you would hate to give up. The two prospects I would not want to give up if I were the Braves would be Christian Pache and Drew Waters. I mean, these guys are kind of elite outfield talents, and I think if you're the Braves, you have so much pitching depth in the youth ranks that you want to be able to try to leverage some of that to give yourself some starting pitching help at the major league level.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're on the WadeFord.com hotline. Our Braves insider here at 92.9, Joe Patrick, joining us as we get ready for Braves baseball tonight, starting a 4-game set in Wrigley as part of this 10-game road trip. Okay, so, you know, and I usually yell at you, Joe, so, I mean, this is the point where I kind of yell, okay?
You've been calm. You've been calm
so
far.
Yeah, I've been good so far. But, okay, at what point do we start to say we've got 40,000 prospects in the minors that I keep hearing about, and turn those into either legitimate major league players, or we use them to get legitimate major league players? Because I'm at the point
he's
of
a strike with an iron's hot type guy.
I understand Waters and Pache. I get it. Okay, but at some point, somebody's got to be let go. You're not going to have 40,000 starters. You're not going to have 9 outfielders. Somebody has to be part of a deal that helps me go win a World Series if that's what it takes.
For sure. I totally agree. The reason I would argue that, you know, the Braves really don't want to be touching Pache and Waters in a trade, aside from just the natural talent ability, is that that's really not an area where the Braves have a ton of depth in their minor league system in the outfield. You know, that where the Braves are really stacked with all these prospects that you talk about are these starting pitchers.
But Joe, they don't move those guys. Joe, I understand. I'm with you. And I don't want Pache or Waters to move. But they haven't even shown anybody that they're willing to give up anybody. Anybody at this point. I mean, they've been hesitant. I mean, there's a lot of guys that could be in, you know, if it's Green in Detroit, if it's Will Smith, you know, I mean, but they just, there seems to be this hesitation, like, we're afraid if we give up on this guy, he's going to become the next John Smoltz Doyle Alexander trade for us.
Right. No, and that's where I agree with you. I mean, I think they really need to leverage the starting pitching they have, the starting pitching prospects they have, into help at the major league level now, because I mean, it's just a numbers game, really. The Braves are not going to be able to fit all these guys in at the major league level, you know, if they wanted to fully develop them out and run them out in the Braves uniform. It's just not going to be possible for some of these guys. There's just not enough numbers in the squad. There's not enough room in the squad. So they're going to have to move on some of these guys. And it's just a matter, you know, they just have to try to find teams that will want to make those deals. I'm sure teams are drooling all over Pache and Waters, and those are going to be the guys that the Braves aren't going to want to give up. They'll want to leverage the pitching depth. So, yeah, it's all kind of part of the deal, and it'll be really interesting to see kind of what happens down the line. But I agree with you. They really need to leverage the strength of the of their prospects into help at the major league level. It's something I've been saying since the beginning of the season, where I didn't think the Braves would go out and really splash the cash in free agency because I thought that this team had more valuable assets in terms of being able to maximize the value of the club is through these prospects and being able to deal them for the talent you want at the major league level.
Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Well, we're just about at the midway point of the season, Joe. You get three games in Chicago. You get four in the series, but after three games, we'll be at the midway point. I just curious. I don't know your history of Atlanta and how long you've been here, but I brought this up the other night. This might be the most productive, maybe the best, most productive infield in the history of the Atlanta Braves. I don't know your frame of reference on that, but you look at the numbers. You know, they've got three guys that are going to be pushing close to 100 RBI seasons, 100 runs scored, everybody in the 20-30 homer range. I don't think people realize how good this infield has been for the Braves all year.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, and I've been Atlanta kind of born and raised, so I've been here for a long time. And, yeah, I mean, it really brings you back to kind of, you know, the production that we're seeing right now is almost – it's the kind of production that we saw in – To be perfectly blunt about it, the steroid era in baseball, you know, when players were just hitting home runs left and right. And I think that now the difference is that this kind of the way that we see this offense is more analytically driven, not steroid driven now in baseball. But I totally agree. I mean, you look at just the home run totals. You see a guy like Dansby Swanson who's in double-digit home run totals already. Let's see, what is something like 14 or 12,
yeah,
13 home runs, something
like
that.
By the way, he's matched his total from all of last season with 14 homers.
Yeah, right now you're looking at, you could have five or six guys who hit 20 home runs for you this season. I mean, it's just incredible to see what this offense is doing. And you look at a guy, the guy to me that's fascinating is Ozzie Albies. If you look at his numbers, his splits between games that the Braves win and the games that the Braves lose, in wins he's hitting about 340. With almost all of his home runs. I think he's only hit one home run, and he's batting like 180 when he's in Braves losses. So the Braves really hinge on the way that this infield performs, and especially Ozzie Albies, and that's what gives this Braves offense so much like dynamism and electricity all the way through from top to bottom. It's something we haven't really seen from this team since, like those early 2000s teams where you had kind of firepower all up and down the lineup.
So is there any word on when Indian Sarte could possibly come back with the club?
You know, he's starting to do, you know, he's obviously starting to do some baseball activities, working out before games and stuff like that. I'm sure they'll be slow with him just because there's not really a great spot for him to come into this team right now. This team is clicking kind of on all cylinders, and obviously you want to bring a guy like Indian Sarte for his defensive work, you know. He's a perfect guy who could come in and spell Austin Riley toward the end of games. We've already seen Brian Snicker do that with Charlie Culberson, who's come in just kind of give them defensive help towards the end of games. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Ender Inciarte, because I'm sure he's a guy, talking about trades, that the Braves would like to package. I just don't know how other teams value Ender Inciarte, because he doesn't really bring a ton with the bat anymore. At least he hasn't recently in his last, you know, what, probably calendar year. And, you know, what kind of rebuilding team is going to want a player like him who offers a gold glove? You know, maybe a team is out there that wants that, that would value that. But I'm sure the Braves kind of like to package what his resume along with his contract and ship him somewhere else. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Ender. I think worst case scenario is he comes back and becomes a bench player for you and one that can really help you in certain ways, like I said, toward the end of games.
Keep up with him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. He is our Braves insider here on 92.9 The Game. Joe Patrick, join us on the waitfor.com hotline. As always, appreciate it, Joe. Be good, brother.
You're the man.
All right, guys.
And I didn't yell at you too bad, did I?
No, you were good. You were good, Chuckery. Thank you.
There you go.
You be yelling at folks, dog, when you don't agree with
him. Oh, no, we just, when he was in studio with me and Carl one time.
Yeah,
and,
you do. You got me like that a couple of times, too. You yell when you don't agree with me. I mean, it's cool, though.
Oh, no, it wasn't
you're
even.
You're a little intimidated.
No,
you're a little intimidated.
It wasn't not agreeing as much as I get emotional about.
Yeah, a little bit of that, but you get loud when you get emotional, though.
What are you saying, Hugh? When we get back, we're going to talk to it's our guy Mike Connie and where we stand with Atlanta United as they get ready for action on Wednesday. MLS action cranking back up. Mike will join us next. Chuckery in for Fricky. Hugh Douglas here. Morning show, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
Pereira, who will chop it down the far touchline. And Joseph spins on the ball and has a breakaway. Joseph Martinez coming straight down the middle. Shot! Score!
This hour of the show brought to you by Winter Renters Warehouse. It is the morning show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery in for John Fricke. Being all week, John getting some much-needed rest and giving Hugh a week off from his personal Vietnam. Anyway, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. At Big Hugh 53, at JMCH316 on Twitter. As we get ready for MLS action, coming up Wednesday, Atlanta United will be in Toronto against Toronto FC, Hugh. Pre-game at 7:30, 8 o'clock kick. The man who will have all the play-by-play
action. The myth.
Joins us right here in studio. Mike Connie. He's brought to you by Brightbox, Atlanta's unshockingly good electricians. Mike Connie. We've had crane drops falling, and we got Connie bombs coming. Which Mike one Conte. Do you prefer, and where we stand?
Mike Conte's my man. Mike Conte, we were working together since almost day one, since I got here at the radio station. He's from, you know, Pennsylvania. He's from up that way. And so I think we've had a connection since day one. So my man, Mike Conte, yeah.
He's my guy. And by the way, I know you have been talking about it this morning. I stand by everything I tweeted yesterday. The NL East is over. You know, I love all these Braves fans who are like, you're trying to jinx them. No, I'm calling it like I see it. It's over. The Phillies are a walking corpse. The Mets manager is going to be fired this week. I mean, if you're worried about the Nationals.
I said earlier, Gabe Kapler's 10 games out on July 4th. He ain't going to be around either.
And they're going to be.
Yeah.
They just got swept by the Marlins. Yeah. So
they lost seven in a row.
I'm not trying to jinx anything. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm calling it like I see it.
That's called a Connie bomb in our industry, if you need to know.
But no, Mike, I think it's over.
Doesn't it feel like the same thing happened, like for the Phillies, the last time they came to Atlanta? You know, you talk about Aaron Nola, he was on the mound, and when Gabe pulled him, it was a little earlier in the season, and then they had that long stretch of just looking like they were kind of clueless.
They were never the same after that.
Yeah, yes.
It does have the same feel. Now, the difference this year is they've let the McCutchen injury really get to them. I mean, if you look at their record post-injury, it's been not pretty. You know, Real Muto got hurt. But you're a blown save by Luke Jackson away from Philadelphia being 7.5 games out of first right now because, you know, the Phillies were very fortunate to get one of three here last week. Look, you can worry about the bullpen in the playoffs. I think that's fair. But as far as winning this division is concerned, it's kind of like what we saw in MLS when Atlanta United was struggling as the season got going. No one in the East was doing anything. So now here's Atlanta United controlling their own destiny to win the Eastern Conference. They can be in first place by the end of this week because they have two matches this week. It's not just an Atlanta thing. You have to look at what everyone else in the division or the conference is doing. And when I look at the NL East, no one's doing anything.
Yeah, and speaking of MLS, how do you think this time off, I mean, everybody's had a little bit of time off, more so than I think we all really wanted when it comes to Atlanta United. How do you think the time off has treated Atlanta United?
Well, I don't think they got as much time off as it feels like because you're right. This will be their first league match in 3.5 weeks coming up on Wednesday. But they did play two U.S. Open Cup matches in that span, and they played mostly a first-choice lineup. against Charleston and then against Columbus last Tuesday. So it hasn't really been that long of a break. And I think it's just been enough to keep the rhythm going. Atlanta United has now won 9 of their last 11 matches across all competitions. The win they got in Columbus last Tuesday in weather, that was a high-quality win. Could have easily have been 3-1. They did let us off goal in late. You know, you beat an MLS team in poor conditions in their building in a tournament. That's a good win. And Atlanta United now has proven that they can win a match when they give up the first goal, as they did against Charleston, and they can win a match when they give up a goal at all, which is something they had not done at all this year prior to the Open Cup matches. And now you have pretty much everyone back other than Joseph Martinez. Everyone is back from international duty. Joseph will not play Wednesday. Franco Escobar won't play Wednesday because he's suspended. But you're playing against a Toronto team that hasn't won in any of their last 8 matches. They got absolutely thrashed.
Yeah, I think May 4th, I think, is the last time that they've won.
Remember, they came here, I think, on what, May 8th, and Atlanta United beat them 2-0.
Right.
They have not won since that match. And they're going to be very shorthanded on Wednesday because Altidore and Bradley are playing with the United States men's national team in the Gold Cup right now. So real opportunity for Atlanta United to go out and make this a 6-point week, because after you play shorthanded Toronto on the road, you come back and you play Montreal, who's actually above you in the standings right now, but with a really gnarly negative goal difference, and a team that has whooped up on an easy schedule to this point. So I really like where Atlanta United stands at this point coming off the international break.
So our United play-by-play guy, Mike Connie, we know where he stands in front of the microphone. How, with them being in the quarterfinals now of the U.S. Open Cup, and it is going to be a midweek match squeezed in between a couple of matches, but how much now, I asked Jason this the other day, about how much now has that become a big priority of trying to win this thing now?
It's a huge priority. I think it's been from the start, because not only is it a trophy, it also gets you into the CONCACAF Champions League. It's going to be harder to make CONCACAF Champions League this year compared to last, because last year, Atlanta United won MLS Cup anyway, but they had clinched even before they had gotten into the playoffs because they were tanking teams that had the best record over a 2-year span of time. They're not doing it that way this year. You have to either win the MLS Cup, win the Supporters' Shield, or be the best team in the conference not winning the Supporters' Shield, or win U.S. Open Cup. So it's a big deal. You're playing a USL team at Kennesaw. You can probably go with a mixed lineup. You can play some second-choice guys. And then you're looking at the possibility of playing either Orlando or New York City for the chance to go to the U.S. Open Cup final. So it's a big deal. When you have the chance to win a trophy, especially when you get this deep into a tournament, I think you have to go all in. You are right, because you play St. Louis right after you play Red Bulls at home, which will be an emotional match, and right before you have to make yet another long road trip and go to Seattle. So it's tough, but I think they'll go for it as best as they possibly can. You don't want to disrespect St. Louis, a USL team. You don't want to demean them or assume that you can just roll the ball out. Well, because look,
you got to respect them.
When a USL team...
Go out there and kick their tail, man.
Well, no, I'm sure they'll try. But when a USL team gets this far into the tournament, it's not a fluke. It's not an accident. USL team can kind of fluke their way into the fifth round. But when you get to the quarterfinal,
they got a little something.
Exactly. It's not an accident.
You know, with that being said, because I know the last few weeks you have been stressing, not only you but Jason Longsor as well, have been stressing how important these matches are and these trophies are for Atlanta United to get that overall, I guess for lack of a better word, acceptance internationally. Do you feel like now the fans are starting to realize that a little bit more so than they did a few weeks ago? Because you heard a lot of people talk about how they really didn't care about all this CONCACAF stuff. Do you think that fans are starting to finally realize how important these are?
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt about it. I think all the international matches we're seeing this month have kind of whetted the appetite a little bit more, because you're watching the Women's World Cup, the Gold Cup, Copa America. It's producing the U20 World Cup. It's producing very intriguing, compelling soccer. Atlanta United wants to be in the Club World Cup next year. They're not going to go this year, but they want to be there next year. It's a way for them to build their global brand. But there's another side to this, too, with the U.S. Open Cup. Brandon Vasquez was having a lot of trouble finding time to play with the first team. Comes on as a sub against Charleston, scores. Starts against Columbus because Joseph is out, Romario Williams got hurt, scores twice. 6 U.S. Open Cup goals and 6 U.S. Open Cup appearances for Brandon Vasquez. Now you go to Toronto on Wednesday. Joseph isn't going to be with you, and I don't know about Romario, but I think Brandon is your starting striker.
Yeah.
Because he was able to build some confidence and develop some chemistry with the first team in these Open Cup matches. So from that standpoint, they're very important too.
United play-by-play man Mike Conley joining us here in the Kia studios. So what does that mean for Vasquez when Joseph returns? How does he fit into the mix? How does he find playing time again?
Yeah, I mean, I
think... play who's hot, right? Yeah, I mean, you got to find some time.
But I think, again, with a striker, you're only as good as the service you get. And you have to give Justin Miram and Pitti Martinez a lot of credit for giving Vasquez the service, giving him the opportunities to score on Wednesday night or Tuesday night. I was not there. U.S. Open Cup doesn't allow local radio, so I don't want to speak authoritatively on what happened Tuesday night and what worked and what didn't for Brandon Vasquez.
Just make it up like we do.
I can't do that. Yeah. But I would say this. You're going to need to have some depth at that position, because if you look at the schedule, look at July now with the Open Cup, and then look at that stretch after Labor Day to the end of the season where you play, again, a ton of matches in a very short span of time. You're going to have to be careful in managing Joseph Martinez's workload, and that doesn't necessarily mean that Joseph would come out of the starting lineup, but I think it would give Frank DeBoer the flexibility if Brandon can keep this run of form up where, okay, we're not going to be afraid to sub Joseph Martinez out after 60 minutes or after 75 minutes. So, I mean, based on the way Brandon Vasquez has played in this Open Cup, I don't think there's much doubt he's earned his way at least into the 18 with the first team. And I think there are going to be opportunities for him to come on as a sub a lot when Joseph Martinez comes back.
Question for you, Mike Conley, because I haven't had a chance to ask you this, but were you surprised that Pitti Martinez made it to the All-Star game?
No, it's a fan vote. And if you look at the players that got voted in, there's a very, very heavy Argentina flavor in the fan 11. Mm-hmm. I think you had a lot of fans of Argentina and their national team and their players vote those players into the All-Star match. Leandro Gonzalez-Pires is another example. He deserves to be there. And the other thing about the MLS All-Star game and the Fan 11 in particular is you see the big names get voted in by the fans, regardless of what their season has been like. Pitti Martinez is the South American Player of the Year. The league wants to have him in the All-Star game, just as they wanted to have Ezequiel Barco in the All-Star game last year. But I don't think it's too hard to connect the dots. You look at Barco, LGP, Pitti, what do they all have in common? They're all from Argentina.
All right, call will be on Wednesday at Toronto FC, pregame at 7:30, 8 o'clock kick. Mike Conley on the call. He'll drop Conley bombs and where he stands on all that. Thank you, Mike.
You're the man, in. Mike.
All right, guys. I got nothing else.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.